Well, my dear brothers and sisters, you may have read in the news today that it took 10 years to land a probe on a comet, but they still haven't taught me how to save and back up all the pictures that I had for you this evening on a PowerPoint presentation. So half an hour ago, I just lost everything, so please forgive me. So I want you to use your imagination for this evening, because I did have some very good pictures. So the subject for tonight is the Star of Bethlehem, and there is another title, Joseph's Dream, which gave me quite a question, didn't it? Could I link the two together? And I hope you don't mind that I'm not going to, because what I could gather from my studies, and if you'd like to just quickly turn to Numbers chapter 24 and look at verse 17, we may get to see something that may link the two together. So I'm wondering if it is a Christadelphian thing that we can see it more clearly. Maybe you can tell me afterwards. But what we have written in Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17, it reads, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel." So straight away I think we can see that there must be a link with Jesus in there and with Jacob. But with Joseph's dreams, now when I first looked at this I thought of Joseph. Joseph in his multicoloured jacket and his dream where he talks about the 11 stars and the sun and the moon would be bowing down to him. Well, my question is, and I'm not going to go and dwell on this too long, my question to you, dear brothers and sisters, is, when we actually think about it, Jacob said to his son, "Be careful what you say here, because am I the sun and the moon," meaning the moon meaning his mother, and the 11 stars would bow down to Joseph at some point. Well, my question is, and I'm not going to answer it, maybe you can think of it while I speak tonight, is, if the sun is Jacob and the moon is his mother, which would have been Rebecca, she never actually had a chance to bow down to Joseph at that time because she actually had been passed away, so she didn't have a chance to go to Egypt. And the other interesting thing is the 11 stars. Well, by my reckoning, there was actually 10 brothers at that time because Benjamin wasn't actually born. So there's a few questions to be asked about that image that we have there with that analogy. And the second really is, if we look at Joseph himself, when we talk about Joseph and Mary, Joseph himself actually only had 3 dreams that were given to him that were recorded for us. One of those being, do not worry about being with Mary. The other one was to get himself to Bethlehem, and the other one was to actually flee from Bethlehem to go to Nazareth. So with that brief, really, introduction, I'm only really here this evening, dear brothers and sisters, to study the Star of Bethlehem, so I hope that's okay for you all. Because for every year, about this time, we see the Star of Bethlehem, don't we, in many cards and paintings around Christmas time. And the very nature of the star that we are going to talk about tonight has actually been debated for many years, and some would actually say nearly 1700 years that there has been this debate about what was this star. And what I have found, dear brothers and sisters, through my study for this evening, that there are dozens and dozens of theories. And it seems to me that everyone as their favourite regarding this particular star. Well, some of the theories that we will be touching on tonight will actually be ranging from planets, from comets, and dare I say it, there is a theory of spaceships, UFOs. But I can tell you now, dear brothers and sisters, I won't be spending much time on that one. But I want to end up with a theory that caught my eye. Well, where do we start with this subject? Well, let's actually start with the description that we have, the Star of Bethlehem, which is so commonly known for us all, isn't it? Well, in the Bible, the Star of Bethlehem is actually referred to as his star, or the star. But all the same, with our study tonight, for the purpose of tonight, let's just keep calling it the Star of Bethlehem. So the Star of Bethlehem is only mentioned in Matthew's Gospel record. In fact, Matthew only mentions this word star 4 times. And also, the Gospel of Matthew actually gives us almost no details for us all. And the only other Gospel, dear brothers and sisters, that mentions the birth of Jesus actually comes in Luke. But Luke doesn't even mention the star as well. And his and Matthew's accounts of the events around the birth of Jesus actually have almost no events in common. Now, some experts would use these contradictions to suggest that the star never even existed. Well, let's come back to that statement a little bit later, that the star never existed. Well, what we have come to know as the Star of Bethlehem, which is mentioned only in 2 very short passages, amounting into 5 verses in the Gospel of Matthew. And there is no other mention of it in any of the other Gospels at all. So why? Why is there no mention of the star in the other Gospels, if it really was such an important part of the birth of Jesus? Well, a short answer to this can be given at once, because we know this, don't we? We know that the Gospels were written by different people over many years, and were intended, each of the Gospels, for different audiences. But it's interesting, isn't it, that people attack the Bible for having 4 versions of the same story in the Gospels. And other people attack the Bible for not having the exact copies of the same stories of the Gospels. To me, people seem to find fault no matter what with what the Bible teaches us. Well, a good answer, which I think is a good answer to this, would also be that it's in the fact that all the Gospels tell us that Jesus died and that he rose again from the dead. And by the same token, those who believe that Jesus did die and rise again, we are well prepared, aren't we? We are well prepared to believe that Jesus is also from a virgin birth. And even though that there are only 2 Gospel accounts recording this, one witness for us would be sufficient. But 2 is even more than enough for us. So let us look at Matthew and the entire biblical account of the star, which is limited to those few verses of that one Gospel. So if you'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2. This is reading from the NIV. So Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, now I have to apologise because I've been trying to practice the name of these people, and I always call them Magi. Well, can I call them Magi for tonight, because I can't get it right. The Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Now, if we look in the following verses, I think in verses 7, "Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him.'" Verse 9. "And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So what do these verses say about the star? Well, neither account really says much about the star. The New Revised Standard Version of the Bible reads that the Magi had actually seen the star at its rising. And in the translation of the original Greek, this states that the star was seen at its rising or at the first light of dawn. Well, this meaning that they would have been able to see it in the east at the crack of dawn. Well, we also know that nowhere does it say that the star at any point disappeared between the departure of the Magi from their own land and their arrival in Bethlehem. What it does say is that the star had previously been in the east, and the star went before them on the road to Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem is 10 kilometres south of Jerusalem. And I did have a nice map to show this, to point this out, so I'm sorry it's not there, but it implies that the star was, at the time, in the south. It also implies that the star was visible for several weeks because it had been seen before their journey had started and was still visible when they arrived in Bethlehem. But what the passage also makes very clear to each one of us is that the King Herod, he did not see the star because he had to ask those men when it had appeared. So we now have, I believe, a very important question regarding the Magi. But we have an image right now, nearly all of us, an image of three men. We all see them, don't we, as three kings. But the verses do not state how many there were of them. And it doesn't even state that they were kings. If you read closely, it doesn't even see that King Herod even treated them as visiting royalty. Maybe that's more points that we need to return to. But there seems quite interestingly to be other texts that I found. Texts I found written that seem fairly close to the time of Matthew's Gospel, which was set down, which do mention the star, or his star, which gives us a little more knowledge of it. And it's not solely based on the record of Matthew's account that we have. What I found was something called the Gospel of James. Now, the Gospel of James is one of the texts that was not included into the Bible by the council back in 325 AD. But the Gospel of James, if we take it for granted, mentions the star when it is reported Herod's questioning of the men. And this is what it says. So this is the Gospel of James. "And he answered the Magi and said to them, 'What sign did you see concerning the new-born king?' And the Magi said, 'We saw how an undescribable great star shone among these stars and dimmed them, so they no longer shone. And so we knew that a king was born of Israel, and we have to come to worship him.' And Herod said, 'Go and seek And when you have found him, tell me that I may also come to worship him. And the Magi went forth, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them until it came to the cave, and it stood over the head of the child. Quite interesting words there indeed. Then I came across another record, which is found in a letter called, and this is where I wish I had the, so I could show you. It's called Number, and it's X1XO, I presume that must be Roman numerals of some description. And it looks like the person's name is Ignatius. Maybe you can look at my writings afterwards and tell me how it's supposed to be pronounced. But this is supposed to have been written to the Ephesians around about 130 AD, which is perhaps only 30 years after Matthew's Gospel. And this is what it says. Its light was unspeakable, and its novelty caused wonder. Well, this comment may be brief, but also to the point. Although I have really no idea where this source of information might have come from, but unlike Matthew, it suggests that the star was extremely poignant object in the sky. And the clear suggestion of this belief, this brief passage, is that the star had appeared suddenly and unexpectedly. So, at this stage, we can see that we really only have three options available to us when it comes to explaining the Star of Bethlehem's mystery. And these three options I can see are, number one, that the star is a myth, that the star is a legend, which was added to the Gospel of Matthew to fulfill the Old Testament, that the star would announce the birth of the Messiah, or it was simply to give added significance to the birth of Jesus. In this case, the star of Bethlehem did not exist. Number two, that the star is reported of something that was genuine, but a normal huge event. And that what Matthew had wrote, it is basically a true account of some phenomenon which was observed in the sky around the time of the birth of Jesus. Or we have number three, that the star was a miracle, which is beyond any circumstances of science to explain. And in this case, the star existed, and that it was seen, and at that time, but it was not a natural phenomenon of any kind, but a miracle. So where do we go from here? Well, it's absolutely certain that we all agree that the date that we use for Christmas was not the date of the birth of Jesus. In fact, it is known that the whole basis of the modern calendar is incorrect. Well, that's a shock, isn't it? But what I have said is that that's the calendar that we have got, and it's not about to going to change, is it? But the problem dates back to the year 525 AD by a monk. I can't pronounce his name, but it's a monk who decided to fix the calendar around the date of the birth of Jesus. So, one important issue in the question of the Star of Bethlehem is those mysterious people from the East who visited Jesus at Bethlehem, which is a question we have already asked, isn't it? We know them as the wise men, we know them as the three kings, but who were these people? And what did they know? And what did they know? And were they even kings? Because we almost know nothing about them. And we can surely say they were not king or wise men. We have little idea of where they came from. But what was their interest in the birth of Jesus? So we're not told who they were or where they came from, apart from an unclear mention that they came from the east. Well, we don't even know how many of them were. The fact is that they are generally shown as three. That's in our tradition. Well, in our tradition, the Western tradition, it's probably due to the three gifts that they give Jesus. Well, in fact, there is no evidence that there were three of them. Because in the Eastern tradition, they actually believed that there were 12 magi. But what we have ancient murals and paintings in churches where there are sometimes two, sometimes four, and occasionally even more than that. And then we have been given to us some names, haven't we? Belteshazzar? Is it Jasper? And that other one, I won't even try. So bear with me. You all know who they are. Now, they are dated from centuries later. Now, these three names actually came into existence back in the 18th century. But they did not become in common use until the 10th century. Now, for the early churches, the number three was highly symbolic, wasn't it? You know. So for us, it is an unreliable guide to the reality of our situation regarding them and the star. But not only were there three gifts, which there were, in themselves, which are highly symbolic, the Magi also represented the three types of race of man. What we have is the black-skinned people of Africa in one of those men, represented there. We also have the people of the Aztec people, I think that's the South American people. And then we have the Europeans, which are represented by Jasper. So in other words, there were strong religious and symbolic reasons for the church to state that there were three, and just three magi. And it was important for the church to actually hold back and to tame any suggestion that there may have been four or more. And we also have no proof that the Magi all came from the same place, although it makes sense for them to have travelled together as they apparently arrived together at Herod's place. But it's unusual to believe that the Magi came from Babylon. It is usually believed that the Magi came from Babylon, although that Arabia and Persia have been suggested also as alternatives for these men. But as I've said, Herod does not treat them as kings. Neither does Matthew. The tradition that the Magi were kings dates, yet again, back from the churches and dates from the 16th century. And is another piece of evidence from the early churches. What we know, dear brothers and sisters, quite seriously, is we know that Jesus will be the King of Kings. But the church taught that it was necessary to show that Jesus had to be treated as royalty from his birth, to reinforce this very point that he was the King of Kings. So the Magi were thus converted into kings because a royal child should be visited by royalty to demonstrate his importance. So, just like in defining the number of magi, there was a strong element of evidence in the decision to actually make them kings. But experts, and I think I agree with them, are convinced that the Magi were probably priests or astrologers. In fact, the new version, the standard version of the Bible offers wise men, as this word describes the Magi, which translates as astrologers. But certainly the Magi were watchers of the sky and astrologers. And yet again, you're going to have to bear with me because we've got two words which are quite close together. I asked the guys at work what the difference was. Astrologers and astrology. Now that hasn't been defined for many centuries, right? But if we get this right, astrology is fortune telling, soothsaying, clairvoyancy and forecasting, where astronomy is where we do some stargazing, star watching and know things about space and science. But I think we know that the Magi would have known the difference in the meaning in the terms that I've just said. But every year, a few favourite names get mentioned as being the candidates to be the Star of Bethlehem. Over the years, some of these objects have been suggested quite seriously. Well, let's start with the non-seriously one, shall we? Which I haven't written anything about, because that was all on a slide. But what I came across, I like my conspiracies, like most of you know I like my conspiracies, but I actually came across a painting which was dated in the 15th century. Now, if you can just imagine it, the painting shows the birth of Jesus, and there is Mary holding Jesus in her arms. It's quite a beautiful painting, 15th century, but when you look closely, in the background, there's actually a man on a hill looking to the sky. When you look closely at the object he's looking at, that object looks like a spaceship. The more you look, it looks like an object that I can't understand that someone in the 15th century could even paint because of the actual cylindrical shape itself. Quite an amazing painting. Which got me going because I thought, well, this can't be right. So I put onto the Google website and I put in Star of Bethlehem UFOs. And then I realised that there were more paintings in such like manner. So you can answer that one for yourselves. But I think we can cancel that one out straight away. But as I said, every year a few favourite names get mentioned as being candidates of the Star of Bethlehem. But can we discard any of them as serious candidates? One of the most popular is Venus, also known as the Christmas Star. We also have Halley's Comet. Which answered one of those questions. The star that is reported in the Gospel of Matthew, it basically is a true account of some phenomenon which was observed in the sky around that time. But almost every year, Venus can be seen around Christmas time. In 2006, Venus was seen as an object visible just over the sunset and very low in the horizon. Venus in 2007, it was a morning star, and in 2008, it was an evening star, yet again at Christmas time. On both these occasions, it was high in the sky and was very beautifully visible. Many people would have asked whether or not it could have been the Star of Bethlehem, or others still think that it was the Star of Bethlehem. Venus is a glorious sight when it is high in the sky after dark. And because of this, it is unlikely that it is the star of Bethlehem. We are certain, as we can be, of anything that the Magi were attentive watchers of the sky and would have certainly known Venus and recognized it for what it is. Similarly, apart from the period of a few nights around the conjunction. Now, if you know what I mean when I say conjunction, it's when like planets get together and can make things more bright or more dim or what have you. So it's all a bit scientific for me. But the planet, Venus, is always visible. The only time when it's not visible, if it goes behind the sun or when it's in front of the sun. So it would have not appeared suddenly to the Magi. But one Russian group did suggest quite seriously in 1960 that Venus was the star of Bethlehem. Now, and I can't believe I'm quoting this man here, but I'm going to quote Patrick Moore. Patrick Moore, the astronomer. For he's very fond of saying, if the wise men were fooled by Venus, they could not have been very wise. So let's think about Halley's Comet as it is a returning favorite candidate amongst the public as the star of Bethlehem. In this case, the suggestion is with more merit during the 18th century, after the return of Halley's Comet. It was successfully predicted by people. And they realized that the Halley's Comet returned every 76.5 years and that it would have been visible very close to the time of the birth of Jesus. And for this reason, they suggest that Halley's Comet was the star of Bethlehem. Well, in fact, contrary to popular belief, the period of the comet, Halley's Comet, over the last 2,000 years is exactly 77 years. And it is soon realized that Halley's Comet had returned a few years too early. In fact, the Chinese who observed the Halley's Comet in August and September of 12 BC, and which they have left quite a good description of its appearance. So in this case, if Jesus was born in 5 BC, the Magi would have taken 7 years to arrive in Jerusalem. This would indicate that they were not exactly in a hurry. And this means that Halley Comet is not a plausible candidate to be the star. But it has been a popular theory for many years with the idea that the star of Bethlehem would... So another popular theory for many years is that the star of Bethlehem would have been a bright supernova. Unfortunately, this can be discounted as well, dear brothers and sisters, because many old supernovas around the sky, some like, and this is the ones I've studied, some like 1054 supernova. Now this was first observed on 4th of July, 1054, hence its name. And that lasted for a period of around 2 years. And this event was recorded also by the Chinese. There is also another supernova that is called 1572. And it is one of the eight supernovas that was visible to the naked human eye in history records. That it burst forth early in November 1572 and was discovered by many individuals. But no supernova, no remnant of a supernova is known which is to be about the right age of the star of Bethlehem. In the position of a bright object seen by the Chinese, which might have been a supernova, but there is no possible room for error here. So between the Chinese chronicles and what we have of today called radio maps of the sky, they think the nearest in date to the birth of Jesus for a supernova was in 185 AD, which is almost 200 years too late for our account. We have the meteor theory. This theory has been suggested that the Magi saw a bright meteor, or possibly two meteors, one to tell them where Jesus was born and the other to tell them where they had, when they had arrived at the right destination. We have alternatives also, things called meteor showers. Well, meteor showers are seen on one occasion early in the 20th century when a string of bright meteors crossed the sky from one side to another, all appearing and disappearing at exactly or approximately the same point in the sky. Well, such a shower would be truly compelling to the Magi, especially if the meteors all aligned in the east to the west. So if so, their suggestion is to them they would have to travel west. But unfortunately for this very theory of a shower of meteors has one very big handicap indeed, that a meteor shower lasts only a few seconds. Now we have the other planet, Uranus. Now this is one of the most unlikely theories that I've sort of read about, because it states that Uranus would have been close to Jupiter and Saturn around the time of the birth of Jesus. And the attention of the Magi might have been drawn to the planet in a result. But in fact, Uranus, with its in conjunction with Jupiter on February 27th of the 7th BC, and with Saturn on February the 5th of the 8th BC, hope you can keep with me on this, neither conjunction would have been easy to observe, as that both occurred very close to the sun in the sky. Now, my colleague at work, who is an atheist, actually he likes this one, because he also thinks what the Magi may have seen was when Uranus was near to the sun, that the sun's reflection would be bouncing off the sun onto the earth. But what we have here, that Uranus moves so very slowly that the Magi would have hardly noticed its disappearance in the sky. And even if they had seen it, they would have had no reason to think that there was anything other than a faint star. So what was the Star of Bethlehem? To explain the Star of Bethlehem, we need to bring together a series of elements. It must have been a rare phenomenon, otherwise the Magi would not have gone to Bethlehem at the wrong and would have gone there at the wrong time. Or they would have gone there several times over in the course of history. It must have been a highly significant phenomenon to the Magi. It must have occurred at the right time, close to the birth of Jesus. It must have appeared in the right place of the sky at the right time of the birth of Jesus. It also must have lasted several weeks to allow the Magi to still see it when they reached Bethlehem. All the theories that have been proposed in the last have either failed at one point or other. If the star was a very normal comet, why should the star be the one and not tens of hundreds of thousands of comets that the Magi would and their forefathers would have seen? If the star was a conjunction Why one in particular and not one of the hundreds or the others that occurred over the few decades? If the star was a supernova, why one particular nova when bright supernovas occur every 20 years or so? Well, this can leave us with a conclusion, is that none of these events on its own could have been the star. I could be wrong. But what we are, dear brothers and sisters, what we are people of faith. We are people of faith who believe in everything that is written for us in the scriptures. Of course, we can't rule out the possibility, can we, that God temporarily placed a special star in the sky to signal Jesus' birth. With science, this would be a very difficult time to prove such an extraordinary event as that. Which leaves me with the one theory that caught my eye, and the one I actually like, but I also could be wrong. But the one that caught my eye has to be the angel of God. An angel of God as being the star of Bethlehem. For what we have, or what I can see, we have an account of Luke chapter 2. Just turn to that. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. This is what it reads here. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger." Verse 13. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to the God in the highest heavens, and on earth peace to those whom his favour rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven. So here we have in verse 9, that the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Shone around them. Well, the short answer to the Magi was, did they see the angel of the Lord in the sky? What we do know is that the star that went ahead of the Magi was like that in nature, but it was also angelic. Yet in contrast, it was his, or the Lord's, star. Well, what is it called? His star? Or could it be called his angel? The Lord's angel? According to biblical record, it is easily noted that the angel of the Lord was actually active and involved in both the accounts that we have in Matthew and in Luke. So why? Well, angels are messengers, aren't they, from God. And the star was communicating an important message. The angels guide people, and the star guided the Magi to Jesus. The Bible that we have refers to angels as stars. In several places, such as Job chapter 38 verse 7, it reads, "While the morning stars sung together, and all the angels shouted for joy." We have that passage from Psalms 147 verse 4. "He determined the number of the stars, and he calls them each by name." So, in conclusion, the Star of Bethlehem, it was a miracle. We should say that the Star of Bethlehem is a miracle. God commanded it to appear, and it was a phenomenon, from planets to angels. God's miraculously caused something to happen at the time in history. God arranged parts of his natural creation in space to make an unusual phenomenon to occur. God's purpose for doing so was to create a wonder and a sign that would direct people's attention to something very precious.